John chapter 3, and we're going to read the verses 1 through 21. John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and do you not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God." The text we want to pay special attention to tonight is chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So far, the reading of God's word. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, books have been written on that very topic. You must be born again. We hear it a lot in evangelical circles. It even makes it into sometimes the business world, where they talk about, well, they experienced a born-again kind of conversion. What does it mean? It's not easy to discuss that topic, especially when you consider our text. That statement that comes in the form of a commandment. You must be born again. You've heard that before, undoubtedly. Maybe you've even seen that on a billboard or two. And then you have to think about that. And what impressions do you receive when you think about that commandment? You must be born again. Now, if you heard the statement, you must believe, or you must repent, or you must humble yourself, well, then we could go home and we could say, well, yeah, that's something I can do. I certainly must believe, and I certainly have to humble myself, and certainly I must turn away from unbelief and turn to the living God. But when you read, you must be born again, what are you supposed to do with that? What can we do about that anyway? Because the act of rebirth, that new life, that's a gift from God, is it not? God has to work in our hearts by His Holy Spirit. And if God does not work in our hearts, if God does not implant new life that makes the governing disposition of our soul holy, what is there you can do about that? You must be born again. Try going up to a coffin with a body laying in it and say, now, be born again. You're not going to get a reaction. And therefore, this portion of Scripture is a little difficult to handle. That's why I chose it, because I want to do something a little... No. I wanted to talk about that because I'm sure you've heard that too. And it comes within the context of that whole talk that Jesus had with Nicodemus. And it comes within the context of that beautiful phrase, that beautiful verse that many of us have memorized. I'm sure the children here tonight know that. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. That beautiful verse comes within the context here of John 3, of this most difficult part to understand. You must be born again. Okay. Nicodemus, he didn't know what to do with those words of Jesus. It was puzzling for this man, Nicodemus. And this was a man who knew the Scriptures. He was a Pharisee. He was the teacher of Israel, not just a teacher. Jesus calls him the teacher. He's number one. He's the premier teacher in Israel. And here he talks to him about something that he should have known, and Nicodemus is clueless. Nicodemus was interested in the kingdom, and that stands to reason. All of the Pharisees were interested in that subject of the kingdom, because when they heard John the Baptist come to them and say, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And the Pharisees, they wanted to be first in line. They wanted to be the number one in the kingdom. And they came to John the Baptizer and asked to be baptized, and John wouldn't do it. They couldn't get over that. And they talked about that with each other. Why couldn't John the Baptist baptize us? What was that that he... Why did he have to be so hard on us? Why did John have to use such harsh language to describe us? The Pharisees didn't like that. And that's why, in this sense of understanding more about the kingdom of God that John had preached, that those Pharisees delegated Nicodemus to go and discuss that subject with Jesus. He came at night, we read, to talk with him about that. That's nothing unusual. A lot of theological discussions happened at night. People were relaxed. They could come together maybe after a meal, and they could talk openly about the things of the day. And so he comes to Jesus, and he wants to know this teacher, Jesus, very popular among the people. And so Nicodemus is preferring to come at a time when he could get him alone and not with the other people, but maybe just talk with this rabbi, because there's something about what he says that he wants to know. And he wanted to see more about the kingdom of God. He wanted to understand why John the Baptizer would not, for example, baptize the Pharisees. What is there about the kingdom that he missed? Those teachers in Israel always wanted to be the number one. They always wanted to be the elite of all the people. And yet John the Baptizer didn't want to have much to do with them. And so now it's in that context that Jesus drops these mysterious words, "I tell you the truth." The original has, "Amen, amen." In other words, Jesus is speaking here under oath. And he says, what I tell you, I'm going to tell you now as if I were in a courtroom, as if I would say the truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. I tell you the truth. Amen, amen. You cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot see the kingdom of God, let alone come near the kingdom of God, let alone enter the kingdom of God, unless you are born again. Now, suppose someone were to say that to you. With all the theological knowledge you have, and you've been in the school of Jesus for how many ever years, if you want to be a child of God, and you want to talk about your faith, and you want to be open, you want to talk with somebody about that, and they say to you, you must be born again. And these words come to you, and you say, well, what am I supposed to do with that? How does that work? What can I do to be born again? You hear about that. You read that in Scripture. But we speak these words sometimes so glibly. You must be born again. Now that, I suppose, could cause us some problems. What does it mean by this statement? How can you be born again? What does it mean? Is that somehow that we have to be reincarnated? Is that what it means? We don't believe in reincarnation. That we have to enter the womb a second time? We say sometimes, you know, I wish I could do this whole life over. Well, the truth is you can't do this whole life over. We will never get a second opportunity on this earth to live this life over. We're never going to be young again on this earth. And so, what do we do with these words? How are you now going to understand this predicament of Nicodemus? He wanted to know about the kingdom, and he couldn't understand why John the Baptizer would not help out these Pharisees and baptize them, because they were just trying. He wanted to see the kingdom of God. Of course, every Pharisee wanted to see, not only see it, but also be number one in it. And now Jesus confronts him with those words, "I tell you the truth, you cannot see the kingdom of God except you are born again." And Nicodemus says the same thing probably that we would say. How is that possible? How is a man able to be born again when he is old? How can he enter the womb a second time? Now this is an intelligent man. This is the teacher in Israel, not just an ordinary citizen. This man knew Scripture. This man was well acquainted with that book, and he knew the Old Testament from beginning to end. He could recite words to Jesus. And so he comes with the most intelligent question he's got. Jesus, how can that be? When a man is old, how can he enter the womb a second time? And then Jesus says to him, "I tell you the truth, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Nicodemus, I'm not talking to you about a physical birth. I'm not talking to you about reincarnation, because what is born of flesh is flesh. It's mortal. It perishes. Flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, but what is born of the Spirit is spirit, and it is a spiritual birth that is required. Now, what does that mean? Did Jesus simply end it there? Did Jesus simply say to Nicodemus, what is born of the Spirit is spirit? There, now you have it, Nicodemus. It's all now going to become clear to you. You cannot enter into a mother's womb a second time, but I speak a spiritual language. What is born of spirit is spirit, and that spiritual rebirth is required. Now, go home, Nicodemus, and be born again. No, that's not what Jesus did. When Jesus spoke these mysterious words, what is born of spirit is spirit, Nicodemus marveled. Questions must have been read all over his face. And Jesus continued. Jesus said, you know what, Nicodemus? The Spirit is like the wind. You hear the wind. Maybe some of you heard it as you came to church tonight. You hear it. That's how the Spirit works. The Spirit works like the wind. In fact, that very same word in the original Greek is used for both spirit and wind. Very same word. That wind blows where it wishes. It's so mysterious. And Nicodemus, what I say to you, says Jesus, is not really new. Because undoubtedly, Nicodemus, you are somewhat familiar with Ecclesiastes 11. Let me read that for you. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. The Spirit, Nicodemus, is like the wind. The wind blows wherever it wishes. You do not know where it comes from. You really don't know where it goes. And now, Nicodemus, go home. Aren't you filled now with all kinds of good knowledge? Don't you have a real keen insight into what's going on? That's it. You must be born again. And it's like the wind. There you go. No, you see, that's what we would have done. But that's not what Jesus does. Nicodemus is still puzzled. And you see, believers, Jesus did not send Nicodemus home with just some little bits of information. But as Jesus talked about that mysterious separation of the Holy Spirit's work from what you see just normally in life, you see now the Holy Spirit working like you see the wind, so mysterious. That Holy Spirit's operation in our lives is something like the wind. And so Jesus in our text wants to make that point very clear, and he wants to clarify it now for Nicodemus so that he knows what is up and what is down and what is the truth. Very concretely, that which was not understood by him, he wants even the littlest child to understand. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't draw attention to himself, as I mentioned this morning. The Holy Spirit is always going to put attention, always going to point the finger toward Jesus, to the glory of God the Father. And therefore, Nicodemus, as puzzled as he was about this idea of rebirth and the power and the direction of the Spirit, Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, remember what it says in the Bible? As Moses raised the serpent up in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must also be lifted up. You know that story, don't you, Nicodemus? The people were all dying. There was no hope for them as they were in the wilderness. That snake, those snakes were biting everyone. And only by looking up in faith at that brass serpent that Moses made would there be healing and would they be saved. Nicodemus, you and all those friends you have, they're dying in the wilderness. There is no hope, Nicodemus. John the Baptizer did not want to baptize them. He could not baptize them. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus, you are a dying soul. But the Son of Man must be lifted up. And by looking at that Son of Man in faith, you will be saved. For as no one will see the kingdom of heaven unless he is born again, and you, Nicodemus, can be born again when in faith you look at Jesus Christ and him crucified. And you want to know what the reason is? Don't be puzzled anymore, Nicodemus. Don't be baffled by these mysterious words, you must be born again. Don't be puzzled when you hear that the Spirit's work is like the wind. Who knows where it is, what power it has? No one knows the changes of the wind. So don't be puzzled. You know why? Because this is the reason. God loved this world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. That wind may be mysterious, but you can see the work. Trees bend. Leaves are blown around. You'll see that even more as the days turn on in this autumn. Branches snap. The Spirit works. And that Spirit's work, you can see in the results of other people. Because God did not send his Son into this world to condemn the world, but that those in the world who were condemned might be saved. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn you, Nicodemus, to condemn the Pharisees. God did not send his Son into this world to condemn us, but that we might be saved. And that's all of us. That's everyone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone who looks to Jesus as they looked to that serpent in the Old Testament. And that, my friends, is not abstract in the least. That is not mysterious. You can say, well, I don't understand how this born-again process takes place. I don't understand how the wind blows. Look, Jesus has made it very clear to each one of you. Nicodemus, as you saw in that passage in the Old Testament, that whoever looked at the snake was saved. So it will be when Jesus is raised up, that everyone who looks to him will be saved. And someday when the disciples are all sad-faced, when the women weep, someday in the very near future, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea will take down that body of Jesus, and they will show reverence to him by giving him a proper burial. And they are witnesses to the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You must be born again. You know what that means? I hope you do. Let me tell you, and let me be very clear. That means for you and for me, believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Now that's so simple. But that's the gospel. So be it. And all God's people said,